Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Unlimited Life. Today I am speaking with you from the Absolute Live Studios, and we are recording a television show today, so it's very exciting. So you might hear all these wonderful people behind us in this creative, amazing effort. And I am so thrilled today for the guests that we have coming on. Today we are talking with Doug Wolf, and he is the CEO of Get My Talk, and he's an amazing, amazing, amazing man. He has background in general contracting, and then in the last few years, he's really recreated himself, and he's created his companies and his future in a whole different way. And he worked from property management to outdoor advertising to mobile technology to collaborative business development and all sorts of charitable foundations. And in 2012, he launched his newest company, which is called Get My Talk. And Get My Talk serves professional speakers like myself, authors, and really high-end trainers. And what he does is he helps them share more of their products from the stage instead of relying on the back of the room sales and internet sales. And this is amazing, even for medical doctors, and even for people, anytime you've ever seen a presentation and you've had somebody on stage, even your professor at a university, and you said, oh my gosh, I wish I could get that slideshow, or wouldn't it be amazing if I can get the information instead of sitting here and writing pages and pages and pages of notes, or now typing on my iPad or whatever, you know, for 2 hours, everything that they said, and wouldn't it be great if there was another way to do it? And Doug is amazing because his product, you literally, in the minute that you are seeing it, have the capability to have everything downloaded into the palm of your hand, into the computer. It's an incredible technology and really changing the art of how we filter information in our lives, not just from the stage, but if you've ever been to a Dodgers game and you know, or a baseball game, and they tell you, you know, if you text us, you can get a T-shirt of how we vote for American Idol or for any of these, The Voice, or any of these programs, that now we're at a stage in a state where technology has changed so drastically, and it's such an incredible way for us to be able to download information and have it at the palm of our hands. And so I think it's just absolutely phenomenal. And so we are excited to welcome one of the most ingenious, inventive, creative, entrepreneurial people I know, and also one of the nicest people possibly on the planet, and that is so rare that they go hand in hand. And so for me, I'm thrilled and excited and elated and honored to welcome to the show Doug Wolf. Doug, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nicole. I appreciate that.
Oh, my gosh.
Great to be here.
It's fabulous to have you here. So what an amazing, amazing journey. And one of the things I love to ask people at the top of the show is back from the childhood, you know, when people are 6 and 7 and 8 and boys want to be astronauts and firemen and whatever that is, and superheroes. And so did you know, I mean, were you always great with technology and information? I know that you came from property management, and what was the road? How did you begin on this incredible journey?
That's a good question. I really grew up in the restaurant business. My family was had a Wendy's franchise, and so I grew up from the sixth grade, really working in restaurants and working with people and in the service industry, and that eventually led into, and this is a wild jump, but eventually led into outdoor advertising. And so all of these different types of service-related businesses that we were involved with, I tended to gravitate towards the tech side. You know, I guess maybe I'm a little bit of a geek at heart, and I was always looking for technical ways to make my life a little bit easier. And I think that's what a lot of people do with the ease of integrating our smartphones, our laptops, our tablets into our everyday life. So we're always looking for a way to organize easier, more efficiently, and ultimately the goal is kind of make our life easier so we can spend more time with our family, friends, and doing the things that we really want to do and creating that lifestyle that we're after. So to answer your question, my background is in the service industry.
That's incredible. And one of the amazing things for me, even in knowing you, is that you're so good with people. And we were talking about it, you know, I'm at the television station and I know that you were here the other day, and that when somebody thinks about a technological genius or somebody that has incredible ideas of technology and science and whatever that is, that in our consciousness we always think about somebody that's sort of in a room by themselves, you know, the mad scientist, the inventor, the creator. And you are so personable. So has your background in dealing with people sort of spark this flame for you to actually now want to be able to help more people in a different way? Or is there a correlation? Because truly, it seems like such a bridge, and you are just so amazing at listening to people, understanding their needs, understanding their desires, understanding their wants, and then going back and, like, you know, God created man, taking a ball of clay or something and actually creating this incredible vision. And so I'm just amazed at how you do that.
There's, I think it's a little bit of the service industry. Part of the my background is in construction, and so whether it's getting somebody's order right across the counter, whether, you know, the sandwich was made correctly, or whether we were gathering enough detail on how to build a home or a commercial building, it boiled down to how well did I listen. And if I was only interested in what I wanted to get across at that meeting, at that interaction, during that bit of communication, if I was only interested in what I wanted to get across, then I was missing half of the conversation. And we found over the years, especially in construction, that our most difficult clients, if we could work with them and we could break through any challenges that we had with them, they actually tended to be our best advocates and some of our best relationships that we had after the sale. We would have more referrals from our more difficult clients. And we kind of boiled it down to the fact that, look, if we can understand, if we can take the time to understand that difficult client, it's not a surprise to them that they're a difficult client. They know they're difficult. And they look at that interaction as, if they were willing to listen to me and I ended up having a good experience with them, then maybe my family and friends would have as good or better experience with them. And so we got a lot of referrals from those people. And so going back to your question, learning that every conversation is a two-way street and there's always three sides to every conversation, my side, your side, and what's actually happening in between, sometimes I get glossed over. I know I get to deal with a lot of technical guys and ladies, and sometimes they're very analytical, very logical, and they're trying to convey to me what they want me to understand, and it doesn't always come through because they're not understanding what I'm trying to say, and so it's a juggling act. Every bit of communication, every conversation is a juggling act.
That's amazing. It is when you think about it. No, absolutely. You know, and I love the customer service aspect, because I know even in working with you, when I describe my needs or I describe my wants or I say, wouldn't it be nice if, or wouldn't it be great if, or do you think it could be possible, or wouldn't it be? And right away, I could see your wheels turning, and you're like, okay, well then, let's do that. Let's create that. Let's figure out how to make that work. And so, are you, like, wonderful with puzzles? Were you a kid that just, like, dumped a box or had Lincoln Logs? Yeah. Or how does your mind work that you actually can build things so quickly and so decisively?
I hated puzzles as a kid. as you were saying that, there's something I picked up a couple years ago, and I've used it as an internal challenge for myself. when you and I have had our conversations, when I've had conversations with other clients and friends, that we just start, you know, spitballing ideas, and maybe somebody comes back and asks me, hey, can you do this? My default answer now is yes. The answer is always yes. The question is how. And if you're willing to work with me on the how of it, then I will commit to you on the yes part of it. And let's if it's an unknown for both of us, let's work through it. And you know, let's create an adventure out of that question, because I get the benefit of working with some fantastic and amazing people like yourself. And we all see our world from a different paradigm. And so when I think of what the questions in the conversation ought to be, and then somebody else brings in their questions, if I'm listening, it opens up a whole new conversation that neither one of us intended to have. But going through the adventure of that conversation is amazing at times. Sometimes it's a miss. They're not all perfect conversations. But my gosh, you and I have had some wonderful conversations that we can eat up 2 hours, and not bad an eye.
Absolutely. And so I want to talk about this Get My Talk, which, I mean, you and I were talking about it and all of the infinite possibilities. And, you know, when I was saying at the top of the show, I can't think of a student that hasn't had a professor in front of them after they've had a late night of studying and their eyes are half closed, that they're like, oh my gosh, I wish somebody could download this into my brain. Or that you're at a medical conference and there's somebody with groundbreaking information or technology or science that's going to save people's lives and actually change the course of history. Or you have these incredible speakers, you know, that are in front of you that are sharing this information. And so how did you come up with Get My Talk, and how does it work? Because, I love the idea. It's just brilliant.
Yeah, so thanks for the question. The how it started, I was literally, I mentioned I was a contractor in Florida. And I had finished a continuing education class. And I had purchased some additional CDs from the instructor. And I had an hour and a half, 2 hour drive back home that evening. And I didn't necessarily want to listen to the radio. I wanted to get back into these CDs that I had just purchased. But I consume all of my audio, my podcasts, streaming radio. It's all on my phone. And so I didn't want to just start throwing CDs into my car and then not have them available to pick up once I finished. So my default was, I'll just load these things up on my computer and then transfer them over to my phone. 45 minutes later, I was frustrated with the process and finishing up and getting on the road and realizing that I had just burned up 45 minutes of transferring data from these CDs through my computer and eventually to my phone. And I think we're most inventions and ideas come out of, you think there's got to be an easier way to do this. So I had been working with text message marketing, and I realized that I knew that we could deliver a 30-second ringtone via MMS, which is a multimedia type of a texting deliverable. And I thought, well, if I can deliver 30 seconds over the phone through a text message, could I deliver 30 minutes or 3 hours of audio content? And at that point, the answer was no, but I wanted to say the answer is yes, and let's figure out how to do this. So I started asking the right questions, and eventually we put together a system that allows you to, from any live stage event, a virtual audience, for the audience members to text in, receive a auto-responding text message with a link that takes you to a mobile web page. There's no additional mobile app to download. It works on all platforms, and it allows you to use the items, the systems in your phone that are native to the phone, and that you're used to using every day. So in a nutshell, that's how I came up with it, and that's kind of what it does.
What a genius idea. Oh, my gosh, what a genius idea. So if somebody's on stage and there are people jumping up and down saying, can I get a copy of this slide presentation? Or, you know, can you tell me how I can get a copy of this? Or, and then what happens next? You say, yes, you can. Or somebody pretends they're Doug Walsh, and the very first thing they say, well, yes, of course you can. And then they, and then the how.
Yeah, you know, the tradition, we've all sat in those seminars, and, you know, you've got a great presenter up there, and they're just giving out some really good information. And inevitably, somebody in the audience is going to raise their hand and say, is there a way we can get a copy of your slide deck? The presenter, you know, wants to be accommodating in most cases and says, absolutely, drop off your business card at the back table on your way out or give it to me when you're finished. And I or my assistant or somebody else is going to email you the PowerPoint presentation, or we'll post it up on the website later on for you to download. And unfortunately, more often than not, that never happens. And if it does, that presenter has created an additional item on somebody else's or their own to-do list. And you know, we're all saturated with things that have to get done and things that we want to get done. So adding another task to our lives is somewhat counterproductive at times, especially when we can automate it and have it ready to go. So what we've been able to do is to create this system that anybody from stage can offer up that PowerPoint presentation or deliver a PDF, deliver a green online workbook. They can deliver their e-books. They can even put a price tag on it if they want and sell it. So, you know, there's a lot of different touch points during the during any presentation. And one of them is not only at the beginning when somebody is offering up a workbook, a green worksheet that you can fill out on your tablet. In the middle of the presentation, if they've got some really good juicy slides up on the screen, all of a sudden you'll start seeing the cameras come up out of the audience and people are tired of taking notes, they're tired of writing it down, or the speaker's going so fast that they can't write down all the information fast enough. And so the audience starts feeling like they're getting ripped off because they can't, and not ripped off, but maybe shortchanged a little bit, that they're not able to capture the data that they wanted to get from that presentation. So when the speaker sees the camera start coming up out of the audience, he knows that the audience is looking for an immediate response. They're looking for information that is available to them, but they can't get it unless they take a picture of it. So the speaker simply says, hey, folks, let's put the phones down. Let's be present together in this conversation that we're having. Go back and text in that keyword to our short code that we have, and the PowerPoint presentation will be delivered to you full resolution because most of your photographs, pictures on your phone are not going to come out in really good clarity. So I'm going to make sure that you have them in full resolution. In fact, I'm going to make sure you have all the slides, and I want you to be present while we're talking, while we're having this conversation in this presentation, and not worry about, did I miss a little bit of data up on the screen? And so it takes the edge off of the person in the audience and allows them to enjoy the presentation more, knowing that they're getting the information that they're looking for. But at the same time, it allows the speaker to get past that threshold, that barrier that sometimes goes up when presenters are trying to share information and or sometimes sell information from the stage. So that's another part of that whole sequence works with the system.
I love the fact that you can see your audience be present, because how often people are in front of us and they're not present, and how easy it is for us right now to grab our phones, to take a photograph, to take a picture, to capture a moment or to remember something because our memories are not what they used to be. It's not like we're sitting home doing crossword puzzles every day, you know, that we don't have a daily newspaper anymore that comes to us that way. And
right.
So much of how we get our information is defined in a different way. And so to be able to say, look with me, be with me, listen to me, let's communicate, let's dialogue here, and everything that's happening, you'll be able to receive, you know, that I can get it to you. So I think that's just amazing. And do you think that that's the way the technology is going in the future?
Absolutely. Mobile is growing. I mean, you can look at any of the statistics online of how fast mobile is growing. And even when people are looking at developing their web pages and their web presence, you know, the follow-up conversation that needs to be had with anybody's media team is our online presence mobile friendly? Because if it's not, we're missing so much of it. You know, for a lot of the guys out there who shopping with the family may not be high on the priority list, especially around the holidays, I've found that one of the things that helps make shopping a little bit more enjoyable is scanning QR codes. And, you know, if one of my kids are looking at something or my wife's looking at something, scan that QR code. Can I find it cheaper somewhere else? And maybe that's my like I said, my geek side coming out a little bit. But I've got this mobile technology that's always with me, and I'm looking for ways to use it more and more. And the statistics online are backing up what I find myself doing intuitively while I'm shopping, is that more and more people are doing the same thing. So many pieces of information, research is done while somebody's walking through a department store, Walmart, wherever they may be. They're literally seeing something on a shelf, scanning it, looking it up online, looking for the reviews, and maybe even doing some price comparison. Can I get it cheaper online? Well, am I willing to pay a few dollars more to have it right now? And so to continue the conversation about mobile, where it's at,
yes.
Where it's going is something that every business needs to be doing.
It's incredible.
I mean, look at
it
your,
really
Nicole,
is.
Nicole, look at your show right now. You know, it is an internet-based show. I would venture to say that most people are going to consume it on a mobile device.
Yes. And it's funny because this morning we were working with one of the television shows that I'm doing, the Happily Ever After show, and one of my guests was a radio guest, you know, on Hourglass Bride, and she played her radio show on her phone this morning that we recorded months ago just to be able to hear the lead into her television show today. And it was amazing that she could be sitting in hair and makeup, and next to her was the radio show that we recorded.
Cool.
So I just, it's incredible technology. And I love the fact that information can be at your fingertips. And so then how does the service work? Because I know people now are listening and they're saying, oh, my gosh, the other day I walked you into a room of people and there were like 10 people in that room that were like, okay, we want to do this. Now we just need to figure out how to do it. I mean, so obviously people are going to be listening to the show and right away they're already putting down Get My Talk, Doug Walsh. And so how does somebody contact you? How do they... Do they come to you and say, my business is a mess, or I'm a speaker, or I would love to be able to get my information into somebody's phone or computer at a faster rate or at all? And where does someone begin with you?
So getmytalk.com is our website. Anybody can go there, check it out, see some of the videos that we have, the testimonial videos that we have, and simply sign up. Sign up for a free account, in fact, so that they can be up and running literally in minutes and not have to worry about a monthly service charge. So it's fairly intuitive. If there is a customization that a speaker or presenter might want to have a conversation about. My phone number is at the bottom of the page. That message is, if you don't get me directly, that message will be transcribed and texted to me immediately. My email information is at the bottom as well. So sending me a email, if you have an urgent need, please send me an email, put urgent in the subject line, and I'll be getting back to you as fast as possible. If it's an international international client or international need, please include your Skype address so that we can connect over Skype. And just make an introduction, tell me a little bit about what you're looking for, and I'll be following up with you personally to help out.
Just fantastic. And I love the way that you're so outreached in the way that you work with people and share your information. And can you share a little bit about, you were talking about your dad in the fast food service and the, you know, the service industry, and really your father was one of the forerunners in the field of being able to share production in a very different way. And now you're doing the very same thing. You're doing it in today's world that we have a technological pulse. We didn't have beepers and cell phones and iPads and laptops and all of these things when your dad was doing his thing. But basically, his instinct was correct. So,
Dad had a great opportunity in life where he was able to, he grew up in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and worked at the Hobby Ranch House in Fort Wayne. And that's where he also met my mom. The two of them worked there. But their manager was Dave Thomas, who was the founder of Wendy's. And so they were able to spend many years working with and kind of growing up together with Dave. And when, an interesting side story to all that, that interaction there, is that at some point Colonel Sanders had showed up at this restaurant selling his special herbs and spices, and was presenting how to make the chicken, his special chicken, and walking through the steps of how to make this meal, and Dad was able to interact with that and learn from. Not only Colonel Sanders, but extensively with Mr. Thomas. And seeing the challenges that somebody has growing up with a dream of what they had, what they wanted to do, and seeing the challenges that were put before them, and dealing with the adversity of a lot of naysayers, that There's a story that I share with a lot of different people, and it has to do with Mr. Thomas's desire for his dream. He had an opportunity to go work at, take over some stores in Columbus, Ohio, and the advice that he got from one of his mentors at the time was, you're an absolute fool if you go and take over these stores. You're an absolute fool if you do this. I thought you were smarter than this. And that, those comments had come from Colonel Sanders, who was a mentor to Mr. Thomas at the time. And, if you have somebody of that stature, that at that level, a mentor of yours telling you that your idea is not worth going after, what is it that's going to get you through that? Because we all have our aspirations, we all have our dreams and the things that we want to accomplish in life. And then there's also some people in our close proximity that sometimes want to put a damper on it and downplay that and not want to see us succeed. What got Mr. Thomas through this time was the fact that when he was 8 years old, he had written an essay in school, and his essay had something to do with what do you want to do in life, and he wrote at 8 years old someday I want to have a restaurant that serves the best hamburgers in the world, so good that people will want to come back over and over again to enjoy them.
And he did that at 8 years old? That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. And so, I mean, can you imagine if you had your mission statement written down at that age and knew that that's what you wanted to do in life and that was your driving goal, and it wouldn't matter who came along and said that you were foolish for having that dream, because it was so ingrained in you that you could get past anything. And you know, you look back at when he started this franchise and the circumstances that were surrounding the world in the early 70s, is that really the best time that you wanted to go out and start a fast food hamburger restaurant? And most people would say, absolutely not. Crazy to do that. And yet he did. And, you know, whether you are a fan of McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, or any of the other fast food places out there, Wendy's has established itself as a mainstream, well-known, global name because of what he wrote down when he was in the eighth grade, and that was his driving mission statement. What could we do if we felt that strongly about what we wanted to do in life and the goals and aspirations that we wanted to achieve, not only for ourselves, but for those that we wanted to take along that journey with us and share that journey with?
It's amazing that you say that. When I was in first grade, I wrote down that when I grew up, that I was going to be the bridge between the physical and the spiritual world. That's who I was going to be. And I was going to teach people what was in the body, you know, connected with the universe, and what was out there, how to live unlimited in a physical form. And here we are talking on Unlimited Life.
Wow.
And so that is really powerful to be able to create that and to be able to do that. And so when people are deciding and they're creating Get My Talk and they say, mm-hmm. okay, my mission is now to get this out to millions of people or for this to be accessible to every 7-year-old and every 107-year-old, and that anybody that carries a phone, which is almost everybody, because even people that are, we don't say homeless, right, because people, home is where the heart is, inside of you, right, or whatever, people that are not living in a house or people that are not living within walls, but, you know, even our runaways, even whatever, still most of them have phones. And so pretty much you can create a vision or mission statement of an outreach like never before, because now your information can be downloaded in the palm of someone's hand in an instant. And imagine how that changes and transcends and quickens the pace of your mission or vision.
Yeah, it's and doing things in the moment instead of procrastinating. There's so many. I've got tablets of notes from different seminars that I've gone to, and when I review them, there's so many things. There's so many action statements that I had put in there, and I didn't get to all of them. And there's things that, you know, I didn't do in the moment that I said I'd do later, and they sometimes just don't get done. But if there's something that we can act on, and you as a presenter, somebody who's trying to take your ideas and your knowledge and get your audience to act on something immediately, not wait until tonight or till tomorrow whenever you get home from the trip, but let's act on it together, let's act on it now, let's act on it collectively, and let's move forward with whatever it is that you're trying to move your audience forward with.
Okay, so does that also work for, I'm sorry for interrupting, does that also work for charities and foundations that, or people that are now trying to do crowdfunding and saying we're trying to raise money for this movie, for this project, for this building, for this center, for the youth? Can we say all you have to do is pick up your phone and here's a video about it, or this is whatever that is, and you can donate right now, or you can help be a partner right now, or we can co-create in this moment?
Of course. You know, Nicole, we have set up your account for your show, and so people are able to log in and see your page and immediately consume the most recent interview that you've posted. We've got other people who have done the same thing, where they want to have a PDF download. They also want them to be able to maybe see a video or listen to a streaming audio feed of whatever the content is, whatever the call to action is. So with one quick little interaction, an immediate interaction with your audience, you're able to not only get them the PDFs, just a one sheet, maybe it's an entire book. It could be a 30-second video clip of this is who we are, or it could be a two-hour presentation. But being able to deliver them to a fundraising site. My daughter, she was just raising some money for a missions trip that she's taking to an orphanage that we run over in Tanzania. And she was able to, via social media, push out a campaign fundraising webpage, and she exceeded what she was looking for. To be able if you are running a not-for-profit and you're trying to push out some information, whether it's at a big event that you're hosting, if it's something where you're online, you have a quick little radio ad, everything that you print to be able to connect immediately with a call to action for people to be able to donate online on their phones, all of this is done very, very easily. And somewhat intuitively for most people, it's something that we're all used to doing now. So yeah, whether you're promoting marketing for a movie or raising funds for a project, whether it's not-for-profit or for-profit, Nicole, a great way to get a call to action in the palm of somebody's hand immediately.
Wow. And I know right now, in a way, we're almost trained. I know that when beepers came out, and the beeper, I was told, was based on the communication between the dolphins and the whales, how the dolphins and the whales would communicate by vibrating to one another, and that we created this technology where if therefore you wanted me, this thing in my pocket would vibrate, and I would say, oh, there's Doug. And from the beeper, then we created our cell phones, and now we can communicate, you know, through our hand devices. And now we are voting for The Voice, American Idol, America's Got Talent. We're watching television, and what we think, what we feel, our opinion can actually launch someone's career, change somebody's life, or be heard in that instant. And so do you think that someday we'll be like voting for a president that way too?
Who knows? Certainly something like that, there's a lot more security that's going to have to be built in. Maybe it's going to be part of the identification aspect of who we are when we do vote. Your comment about the voting for competitions, whether it's The Voice or America's Got Talent, those are perfect examples of moving a mass amount of people to action who's an existing audience. You and I probably both watched the Oscars last night, and they did that group selfie, and
yes,
it had millions of retweets that went out globally, and it was an immediate call to action with a captive audience. So whether it's a captive audience on TV, radio, or a live audience in front of you on stage, the idea is to collectively move your audience in the direction that you want them to go. And they're able to do that. But physically, they might not be able to. Financially, they might not be able to. But digitally, they're all connected.
Wow.
And it's so powerful to realize how connected we all are that way.
Absolutely. And so even for, I know that we're members of an organization called CEO Space.
Mm-hmm.
And CEO Space, incredible organization for entrepreneurship, and they have a teen program for young teens. So even for a young teen or someone, a young adult, entering a university, entering the world of entrepreneurship, is this a good tool to get their message or their business out to people at a high rate, unlike anything before? It's how would you approach this with somebody of the youth that's just starting in this business?
Everything in its place and time. Let me just start with that, because TV is a great medium, but it's not your first call that you're going to make when you want to start a business. So as you are gathering steam, and maybe you want to crowdsource an idea, you can do that with social media, and as you start to crowdsource the idea on social media, how are you going to track them? We can track them by putting out an opt-in page on on a web page, on social media, or on the phone. And so it's not the only way that people are going to promote a business or promote an idea and to deliver information. It's another way that they can do it. It's not designed to overtake anything else, but to actually supplement first what's already working for you and to be able to enhance that so you're getting a little bit deeper penetration into your conversion rates that you're looking for. So let's take that teen program. We have some young man or woman that has an idea that they want to get out there. They can crowdsource that on social media and say, to vote your idea, text back or text in this code to this number and vote for your concept, whichever one you like, just like you do on voting on some of the TV, you know, like on The Voice or an American Idol. And in doing that, what you're able to do as that young entrepreneur is to capture the data of the vote, but you're also capturing contact information. You're capturing that cell number. You can also embed an opt-in menu and capture a little bit more data from them, get their email address, if nothing else. As you start to crowdsource and you realize that this phone number, this email was a positive vote for what I was doing, that might be one of your first people that you reach out to once you have moved your product along to start doing a problem solution type interview. And I don't know if you know what the problem solution interviews are, right, Nicole?
No, I don't. That was my very next question.
Okay, so when I first started working with Get My Talk, I would call a number of speakers that I randomly picked or were suggested to me, and I did a problem interview with them. And I said, you know, once I got their permission and we had some time and an appointment set, so, Mr. Speaker, do you view the fact that you're not capturing as many people in an audience and converting that into a sale, is that a problem to you? Well, yes, it is, Doug. It's a problem, and I'd really like to capture more people. Great. Question number two. Do you feel that if you could not invest as much capital in the products that you were selling at your events, would this be of benefit to you to keep some of that capital in reserve for other items? Well, yes, that would actually be a nice thing if I could do that. And, you know, we had some other questions in there. So out of the three things, how would you rank them, one, two, and three? And that's how I'd finish the interview. And I'd be able to determine what the biggest problem was, the secondary problem, and the tertiary problem. went back, and of course I had already in my head figured out how we were going to solve those. We just wanted to get some documentation that, yeah, these actually are problems perceived by our potential audience. So we come up with a working model, and we go right back to that same group that we're in, that we interviewed with the problems, and we have a solution interview. Mr. Speaker, you said last month in our interview that this was a problem. Do you still feel like it's a problem? Yes. If I was able to provide a solution with this type of a product doing such and such task, would this be of value to you? Well, yes, it would be. And we just go through the same list of questions, and we gather the same information, and we have a fairly warm list to start contacting or to start closing right on that solution interview. And so we've already had a couple conversations with them by the time we start getting to a closing conversation, if you will. So that's, in a nutshell, like I said, what a problem-solution interview would be. And do you have any questions on that?
No, I love that. And I love the hello, Mr. Speaker. It's, I always think that when I go up to the mic, hello, Mike. But hello, Mr. Speaker. What do you need today? But I love that, you know, you go through those questions. And I think that I remember somebody saying that data was like eating your vegetables, you know, that you know is good for you, you know, whatever that is. And yet there are some, you know, people love vegetables and it's delicious and salads and scrumptious and it makes you strong and protein and healthy. And having that information, having, as you're talking about collecting data or collecting people's emails, it is good for us because we do know very much like our vegetables, okay, where is our strength coming from? Who are the people that are interested? Are they 5? Are they 115? Are they men? Are they women? Are they people that are in business? Are there people looking to start businesses? Are there people that, you know, are in love or looking to create relationships? Or are they groups or individuals? You know, and when we see who we're affecting and how we're affecting people in such an incredible way, then we can, what do you, self-adjust? Is that it? Redirect? How do you stay on course? How do you change that to be able to really make a profound difference in people's lives and be so effective and help people in such an amazing way? And by having that information come in and available to people and available to you, it only can help them more and the more.
Yeah, and that's very true. And have you also found that the hardest thing for people to do is ask a question? There's a lot of
people. Yes, I never raised my hand when I was in school, but I thought that's because I had braces.
there's a lot of people that are freely able to and willing to give you their opinion. But a lot of times we just don't ask questions. And so we have lost the ability to ask the right questions at times. And those that have learned how to ask the questions and specifically the right questions start getting better answers. And, you know, if you look back at the wealth of knowledge that we've absorbed over the years, one of the things that just rings true so often is when you're talking to somebody about how to do a startup, when you're talking to somebody about how to launch a business or how to come up with an idea, in that initial assessment is, are you asking the right questions? If I have an invention that is so near and dear to my heart, and we talk about this in CEO space, and we call it, you know, our dolphin, and we get so wrapped up in the cute dolphin and how pretty it is and how amazing it is and all the different things it can do, and it becomes our pet, and we have this love for our pet. But your pet's not my pet, so I'm not going to buy into the affinity of the love and the attraction that you have for your idea until I understand how your idea benefits me. And so sometimes we have to talk about letting go of the dolphin. Stop talking about the dolphin. Let's talk about what's in it for me. What's in it for your audience? Why do I want to even hear the rest of your conversation? And so going back to those things, the obvious things that we've learned when we're talking about doing a startup is you might have an idea. Go crowdsource the idea, not fundraising for it, but just crowdsource the idea. Is it something that people want? Ask your audience, what do you want next from me? What problems do you have that you want me to solve? When you figure out what the biggest percentage of a particular problem is and you can solve it, you're not going to have to worry about funding it. You're not going to have to worry about it, how to market it. You will have come up with a solution to a massive problem with a often simple solution, and you're going to do very well at your new business. But if you're trying to sell a solution to a unforeseen problem or a perceived problem that doesn't really hit that much of a pain point, then it's going to be an uphill battle. And you and I have seen people make that mistake over and over again, haven't we?
Absolutely. And it's interesting that you say that. I was a speaker at the National Writers Conference this past weekend, and they were talking about when you're writing, which is the same as when you're speaking or when you're a doctor, when you're on stage or when you're a professor, whatever that is, that why would somebody put aside their life at that moment to care about what you and what you're saying and what you're teaching and what you're telling? And also, what do you want to have happen after they've read your book or after they've heard your conversation or after they – do you want them to join a political party? Do you want them to save animals? Do you want them to be better people? Do you want them, to have better tools to fall in love or create millions of dollars or make smarter choices in buying real estate? And what do you want to have happen afterwards? And so I think that what you're saying is right along that line of once you have those questions, what is it that you need from me? What is it that I can give you? What is it that can better your life? How can I help you? What can I answer for you? Then you are providing that proper information to people, and they are willing to step outside their lives and to step into yours, because what you're talking about or what you're sharing is so profoundly impactful in their world, and that when they have that information, they can go make this huge leap and really soar in their lives. And how do you create that synergy? So I think that's perfect.
It does make a difference, right?
I love this. So tell us again, Get My Talk, Doug, how we find you, how we email you again, and then, is there a too small or too large? If somebody is just getting their information out there, can they still find you? And if somebody is a major conglomeration and they are international and across the board and they want to get their information out faster, quicker, and into someone's hand within seconds, are they also looking for you?
Sure. We've got... to answer that question specifically, we've got three different packages. We've got a freemium model where it doesn't cost you anything per month, and that is perfect for somebody just starting a speaking career or just coming out with their first book. They don't know how often they're going to be in front of a crowd, and they just want to have the technology available for when they need it. The next model is a pro model, which is $29.95 a month. And it's designed for a speaker who is speaking on a semi-regular basis, maybe to 30 or 50 people at a time per month, maybe more, maybe less. But they know that they're in front of a number of people, and they want to have a more economical way of distributing and sharing their content. Because between those two different service plans that we have, the freemium model, we charge about 25 cents for each download. On the pro model, we move that down to 15 cents. So you're able to save a lot of money on each download that happens if you're speaking to a larger room. If you're a professional model or a more of a celebrity model, we're looking at a $99 a month fee, unlimited downloads. So, and that usually is a breaking point of if you have more than 500 downloads a month, then that celebrity plan is probably more in tune with what you need. So those are the three different plans. To answer your question specifically on that is, it doesn't matter whether you're just starting out or whether you are, you know, you have an audience of thousands of people every month, tens of thousands a month. TV station has, you know, millions of people watching it, and, you know, there's a plan for that as well.
I love this. It's just the best information, and I'm so thrilled and so excited to be part of Get My Talk and to be part of your world and all that you're doing. And I thank you so much for generously taking your time today and for enlightening us all and for taking your enormous, incredible background and the way that you share with people your expertise and your talent and how you connect and how you listen and how you create magic off of what people want. And I guess it's the same when you're talking about contracting and landscaping. Somebody says, I want something that looks like this, and you create it. And you have that innate ability for someone to say, I want it to look like this, and I want to reach people in this incredible way. And you say yes, and you make it happen. And this technology, I think, is changing the face of speakers, changing the face of information, how we receive information, how we learn information. I mean, even today, I was listening to one of the radio shows that we have downloaded from Get My Talk, and just hearing it again, the fact that in that moment, your brain is so saturated when you're sitting in an audience or you're sitting in a classroom or wherever you are, and all this new information is coming to you all at once. But if it's in your phone, if it's in your computer, it's totally downloaded to the palm of your hand, and you're walking, you're jogging, you're taking your dog, you're on the treadmill, you're doing whatever it is, or you're sitting in your house and you're listening to it. When your brain is relaxed and expanded, you can absorb this information in an entirely different way. And so you're giving people a way to actually really, it's a higher form of learning as well as one of the quickest ways to be able to grow your business.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, how many times have we read a book for the second or third time or listened to an audio presentation or a seminar and we heard something that we didn't realize was even in there? And all of a sudden, you're hearing it again for the first time.
It's amazing. I had somebody give me a list of, yes, I had someone give me a list of affirmations, and I tried to do them, you know, for 27 days or whatever. Not I tried. I did them for 27 days. My commitment was to do the affirmations for 27 days. And it was amazing. It got to, like, the second week I was doing them, and I was saying things that I didn't ever remember saying before, even though I had said them every single day for 2 weeks, but it was the first time my brain got them.
Yeah.
The first time I actually connected to it. So it was as if I had never said, and that to me, I was amazed. I did not know that was possible. How could I see something every single day for 2 weeks and never have heard it before? It's coming out of my mouth. So it is true that when you have that information, and it's in the palm of your hand, and you can receive it in a whole different way, that it really can change your life and change your business. So thank you, Doug, so much for being with us today, and thank you for your incredible, incredible, incredible business, Get My Talk. And everybody out there listening, this is really a way just to soar your business, soar your life, and reach people like never before.
Oh, thank you, Nicole. I appreciate it, and it's been an honor being here.
Oh, what a joy. Doug Walsh and Get My Talk. Thank you, Doug. And we look forward to having you again because we really want to know, and I would love to hear how people are doing with this. So I would love to bring you on the show again. So
great. Look forward to it.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Wow, what an amazing guest. Doug Walsh and Get My Talk. We are currently using it right now for Unlimited Life and Hourglass Bride. So in the palm of your hand, if you put text 55678, 55678, and in the message Nicole, all of the information will come through. You can hear today's shows as well as our archives. And so don't miss everything Doug said was absolutely so profound and so important. So text 55678. The message is Nicole, and Doug will be right there for you. You can see how Get My Talk works. And you Absolutely. This is something you want to step forward to. It's not just the new wave of the future and the new technology. It is the way to grow your business and change people's lives and get information out there like never before. What a way to enlighten people, inform people, and what a path to success. I look forward to seeing you next week on Unlimited Life. Wishing you a wonderful day, and thanks again to Doug Walsh and Get My Talk.